Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights. Oh.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. You got another chance at $1,000 coming at you. In the 4 o'clock hour, just had a conversation with Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. If you missed that, hit the rewind feature and go check it out right now on your freeradio.com app. 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Tonight at 6 o'clock, right after we're done here on the Wendy's Big Show, I will be out at Good City Brewing across the street from Fiserv Forum with Steve Novak, Marquette legend. Should have his number 20 retired by the Golden Eagles. Then also, number 26 for your Milwaukee Bucks, Kyle Korver, the sharpshooter, steps into the Good City Brewing Studios and we'll be hanging out, talking some Bucks basketball, maybe enjoying a couple of beers. Or who knows? You could go in and have a beer after work and come hang out with us.
You just wait. You've never done this before. You just wait. Novak, legend. I'm telling you, man. No, I've been around with Mike McGivern before.
Sure.
And everywhere.
Everybody knows Mike McGivern.
You know.
Everybody.
No matter where you go. Everybody. McGivern knows somebody in a restaurant. McGivern knows somebody in a store.
100%.
He knows everybody. I'm
trying
to. Great
genie again.
Yes.
Oh right away.
God. Novak, it's similar. Novak knows. Young, old, doesn't matter. It does not matter the demographic in the room. Somebody will know who Steve Novak is. And it won't be, oh, I remember watching you play Marquette. No.
No.
Oh, you remember when we went to this restaurant in Brown Deer and blah, 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 blah. Or, you remember this? You remember that? I'm like, oh, yeah. He knows everybody. Just like McGivern. You'll see.
I'm excited. I'm really excited to be hanging out
and
there.
And those that, I remember watching you play with Dane Wade. Can we get your picture? Sure, yeah, no problem. Make a smile. Talk to them about their family and their kids. Say hi to the kids. Nice. One of the nice.
Well, Steve's a family man, too. So I'm excited to hang out with those guys for an hour or so.
Disney. They're Disney.
That's why you love Steve so much.
Love it.
Okay.
Oh, huge Disney.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You can tell once we start talking about that. That's why we need cameras in the studio so everyone can watch. Once Steve says the word Disney, the smile that comes to his face is just
lights up
a room.
We didn't go last year, and I'm missing it so bad. And I don't think we're going this year, but yeah, I miss it.
Another trip for 24 booked in the next 2 weeks.
Huh?
To Disney. Yeah, for like a quick weekend.
When are you going?
I'm not going. She's going with her mom for like 3 days next week. Just incredible. I just don't know how you can be that. It's Florida, though, so I would go, too.
To get out of this.
Yeah,
and this really isn't that bad. It's supposed to be like 45, 46 on Sunday, they're saying.
1 year ago today, we were in the polar vortex. I opened up Snapchat today and looked at my memories. Last year, at this time, it was negative 23 degrees in the city of Milwaukee.
Right.
And people were calling me before the show, being like, hey, man, did you get off work today hanging out on Polar Vortex Day? No, because somebody's got to let you know the news in the places that you can't go. So that's why we're always here. 365, baby. Well, almost 365 days a year. We do get vacation every once in a while here at Entercom Milwaukee. We're very, very appreciative of that. You have $1,000 coming your way here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, as well as we're going to sit down with Eric Name at 4:48. John McNamara going to talk to us at 5:35 about the Kobe King situation at the University of Wisconsin. 414-799-1250. Sparky, are there any teams in the Eastern Conference that scare you if the Bucks meet them in the playoffs?
Eastern Conference teams? No. I'd say Philly, but let's be honest. They have no shooters. No. I can't get down on the Philly thing. Boston? Tatum's playing well. Kemba? Right? Good coach, Brad Stevens. Yep. I just can't think they can beat him either. They just don't have a lot of size. They're lacking size. And that's going to be a problem in dealing with the Lopez brothers and Giannis. Size, I think, kills Boston against us. Now, one team that I still gives me a little bit queasy feeling when you bring up the Toronto Raptors, I still get a little queasy. And I know there's no Kawhi, but
sure.
Siakam is a beast right now. They still got Kyle Lowry and Eric Bledsoe matchup and all that stuff. Toronto is still not going away. They're going to be tough. Of all of them, I think Miami is probably the one that would concern me the most. Am I scared they lose to Miami? No. But of the ones that I would be concerned about, Spoelstra, for whatever the reason, has always played the Bucks tough. His teams always defend Miami really mm-hmm. well. And Miami always defends the Bucks really well with Spoelstra. So that concerns me. You got a really good young player in Tyler Hero off the bench. He can get going and just carry them for stretches in like the fourth quarter or overtime. He's done it. Not afraid of taking the big shot. Screw you, Jimmy. I'm taking this. It's just amazing. And then you got Jimmy Butler. We talked about Bam. He's probably going to be an all-star reserve mm-hmm. tonight when they announce that later tonight at 6 o'clock on TNT. So all of that stuff. So Miami probably, but I don't think they have enough to beat them either. So I don't think there's a team in the East that knocks them out and stops them from getting to the NBA Finals.
So what about across the rest of the NBA? Because the East was obviously a hang-up for you. But the Western Conference, as the Bucks will take on one of the best teams in the West coming up tomorrow night at home, 8 o'clock tip-off against the Denver Nuggets, who are right now the 3 seed out West.
Porter's playing well for Denver. Since coming off,
which was a
injury.
Great lottery ticket pick for them. They had a lot of young assets, and they could wait in redshirt Michael Porter Jr.
I don't think this is their year. Next year, if he's healthy, to go with Jamal Murray, to go with the Joker, that could be a problem next year for teams in the West as far as getting eliminated by them in the playoffs. They'll provide a fight, but give Porter another offseason of being healthy and a whole nother season. Denver could be that team to bet on in Vegas before the season starts next year. Not this year. Utah's Utah. Okay. Good solid team. Not mm-hmm. NBA Finals type team. Houston, no chance. And then it's the Clippers, and it's the Lakers. To me, it would have been Clippers, then Kobe died. Mm-hmm. Now it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
Now I'm concerned. I'm greatly concerned mm-hmm. about the LA Lakers. Because I think, and you can believe in whatever you want to believe in, right? I'm not sitting here telling you to believe in greater forces or whatever the case may be. I'm just telling you that we've seen crazy stuff happen in games where it's just like, man, how did that happen? Whatever. And it's a huge market in L.A. You got all this other stuff going on. You got LeBron, who's come out and said, I'll take on Kobe all by myself. Kobe's legacy going forward and put it on my shoulders. That's why God gave me wide shoulders, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So you got that. Anthony Davis is a beast. We all know about that. I still don't think they're deep enough. Kuzma has not been that guy that everybody thought he was going to be. Now, what do they do with him at the trade deadline? Does Kuzma get moved? Are they able to add another piece? I think they need to add another piece to probably get by the Clippers. But the Lakers, because of this whole Kobe thing, I think is the one team where I'm like, man, I do not want to deal with that in the NBA Finals.
Before the year, it was Lakers. It was Bucks Clippers for me, and similar. After this weekend, you can talk about greater forces all you want. The greater force is LeBron James, and when that dude is playing the way that he is at this point in his career, 35 years old, and the guy is leading the league in assists. He's never led the league in assists. He's never been close to the kind of assister that he is at this point.
Assister.
He's playing playground basketball right now, right? Facilitating across the world. He's got Anthony Davis, who might be the best player that he's played with in his entire career. You and I, same way, though, here. All these really, really well-coached teams. I think the Toronto Raptors are really, really well coached, despite what some people don't like about Nick Nurse. I think Nick Nurse is a tremendous technician.
Yep.
Eric Spoelstra, I think, is one of the most underrated coaches in the NBA.
Very good.
I think he's right now one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Brad
for
Stevens.
What he did when he started with that LeBron, D-Wade, Bosh crew that he had to take over. Tremendous guy that he's lasted through. And Brad Stevens. I'll throw Quinn Snyder in there because I think he's tremendous as well. None of those four teams scare me for stopping the Milwaukee Bucks. Keeping it very, very close in a 6-7 game series, absolutely. The size that Philly can throw at you, and I want to talk to Kyle Korver about this tonight on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour at 6. It's from a fan in me, Stevie, I can't get the Philly taste out of my mouth from Christmas
Day.
Did
you see Embiid's comments the other night? I was watching him on TV while he was talking. They were playing. He couldn't play. He was hurt. So he's on doing TV, and he's talking about, well, you know, when we had JJ, JJ could hit that shot. Well, when we had JJ, and we don't have those type of players like JJ. I mean, he just said it. He must have said it 5-6 times within about a 5 to 10 minutes about pretty much they have no shooters. And it is really hurting that basketball team. And I think it's going to continue to hurt that basketball team. Al Horford, nice player, really good player. But I just don't know.
Well, and after last season against Boston in the playoffs, Al Horford is not necessarily the guy that scares me the most in the size that they can throw at Giannis. The amount of size that they can throw at Giannis is difficult for me. Chris Middleton goes out and plays the way he's played all year long. I do still think that they get by Philly. So in the Eastern Conference, I have a hang up with Philly in the matchup against the Bucks. But right now they sit as the 5 seed, Sparky, against Boston. I'm not sold that Philly, after all I just said about the Christmas Day game, the points you just brought up, I don't know that they get past Boston. So, like, the way that it can all play out.
Boston has no size, though.
But they have big-time playmakers.
They can. They can score.
They have big-time playmakers.
Yeah, they can.
And when you have that kind of guard play and a guy like Kemba Walker who can instantly be the best guard on the court, even when he's going up against a guy like Ben Simmons, who's what?
Who's playing
7 inches taller than him?
A lot better this year. Playing a lot better this year, Ben Simmons.
Kemba Walker is still a winner. I really, really struggle to see that series is going to be tremendous. But also, another team that's been left out of this equation, and a lot of it because the Bucks have skunked them every single time they played. You didn't know Victor Oladipo came back last night. So they're going to make it a competitive series, whoever they play in the first round. That first round in the Eastern Conference might be the best friend of the Milwaukee Bucks in the entire season.
It's like a bye.
The guys that the teams that are going to get beat up in those 3-6 matchups, you can't quantify how much that's going to help this team.
And the Bucks won't. They're going to have like a bye. It's going to be a sweep, and then they're going to sit at home and wait and see
Brooklyn
what
or Orlando.
Beat up team they're going to get in the next round. But now, what about in the Western Conference? Is it still the Lakers then, and nobody else?
Yeah,
the Clippers
The Lakers. The Clippers are so up and down and so inconsistently healthy. And I understand a lot of it is their own doing and their own decisions to rest players throughout the season. That Lakers team and LeBron, man, this whole situation with Kobe has completely shifted my viewpoint of the West. It's the Lakers to lose by far.
Read a piece yesterday, I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago, talking about the Clippers and how they are really struggling to find a vocal leader on that team because it's not Kawhi.
No, it's not.
Paul George isn't that guy apparently either. So it seems like they're going to have to turn to Patrick Beverley to be the vocal leader on that basketball team. And I just don't know about that.
Yeah, you don't like that. I love Pat Beverley. I need all the Pat Bev that I can get.
I just don't know if that is what I want. I don't know if I want that dude being a leader in my locker.
Right now in the West, and 414-799-1250, what NBA team scare you the most in the playoffs? Because C. Sparky Pfeiffer and I are having some trouble finding exactly which ones do. The 2-7 matchup in the West right now would be Oklahoma City and L.A., but Houston drawing a 6-seed matchup right now against Denver and Utah against Houston, those are some great time matchups that you can get.
Oh, no question. NBA playoffs are going to be really good.
They're going to be great this
year. Just got to get rid of the regular season first.
They also need to get rid of whatever they're trying to do in this All-Star game. If you haven't seen exactly what the NBA is proposing for their NBA All-Star game,
it's different. It's not a regular game anymore.
No, it's 4 games in 1, and then somehow wrapped up between a best to 24-ish finish, which I'm still trying to figure out in my head. I wasn't a math major, but, you know, who was? We'll talk to Eric Name coming up at 4:48, and Za'Darius Smith at the bottom of this hour coming at you here on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. It's the Wendy's Big Show. We're live here in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. 6 o'clock, it's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour with myself, Kyle Korver, and Steve Novak. Keep it right here. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll be right back. 97 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Packers defensive captain Za'Darius Smith with Bill Michaels coming up here in about 15 minutes from right now. 414-799-1250. What NBA teams scare you the most in the playoffs, Bucks fans? Joel said Boston, Miami, Philly, Toronto. Not scared, but they're a threat. Honestly believe the playoffs this year will be one of the greatest of all time. Kobe inspired. That's why. Frank says any teams over 500 on the road. At home, nobody. At home, this Bucks team is 22-2.
You know, the one thing that I'm curious about, and I guess it's a question for Novak and for Corver tonight during the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, 6 to 7, Good City Brewing. Tonight, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, our guy Don with Chillis, college sports show tonight. I'm sure we'll be talking some hoops as well this evening and talking about Kobe King quitting on the Badgers. So tune into that tonight, 8 to 10. This is what I'm curious about. Like, when you're this good, right, like the Bucks are, on pace to win 70 games, like, how hard is it to keep everybody's focus? How hard is it to keep everybody kind of going in the same direction when you have to play the Hawks, the Pistons, right? Some of these Bulls, some of these absolute trash teams that you got to deal with. How hard is it keeping everybody? Because it's, for the most part, it's a pretty veteran-laden group, right? Wesley Matthews has been around.
Big time.
Corver's been around. George Hill's been around. A lot of these guys have been around. And now even the Bucks players that have been here for a while, Milton, he's got postseason run now, so he knows what this is all about. Bledsoe's been through it. Giannis obviously has been through it. Because it's such a veteran-laden team, I wonder if it's just kind of like a machine where you just keep going. You don't worry about young guys screwing off and getting in trouble or staying out and partying too late or any of that, because these young guys aren't playing anyhow.
You look around the group, and a lot of times when you bring in that kind of veteran leadership spark, you are getting guys that have won titles. They haven't. I mean, like, Kyle Korver, you look at his resume, and he had some great teams. He was on that Atlanta team that ended up not even losing a game for a full month and whatever. It was like the full starting five ended up going into the All-Star game. But he's never won a title. And you keep looking around. George Hill, all the opportunities he had, he hasn't gotten one. So, like, they've got a lot of vets who have been there but haven't been able to break through the mountaintop. And when I was talking to Sidney Moncrief the other day about it, because Sidney Moncrief, when he was on with us after the game in France last week, right?
Sure.
He continued to stress championship. You haven't won a championship, so it's going to you're still going to have those doubts.
Which you should do.
Which you should, right?
Right.
And use that as motivation. But when I asked him, like, how do you make sure people aren't looking forward, that guys aren't looking ahead into the future of what that can hold, he just pointed straight back to Mike Budenholzer. And I guess that's one aspect of it that I didn't take into account as much of. They've been doing this with those teams in San Antonio for years. Greg Popovich work that to a T for a long time, knowing that your team was going to be pretty much better than everybody else. But you had to keep that focus. Otherwise, you weren't going to be the best version of yourself come April.
It's funny. I was listening to Matt Velasquez the other morning on Chuck and Winkler. And he was telling a story that in a game, I don't think he even said what game it was, but there was a game where they were just running up and down the floor and scoring on a team, just killing somebody, right? Weren't running any half-court sets because they were stealing, getting in transition off rebounds or whatever. He called timeout, put him on the bench and said, listen, enough, no more of that. I want you to run some sets. Enough of running up and down, getting these easy baskets. I want to run some offense in this game and get some practice. Think about that. You are so good that you're telling your team to quit getting easy baskets.
Stop running in transition.
Right. Quit.
Mm-hmm.
And let's run some offense in the half court and get some practice in while we're out here. Think about that. I mean, in my life, I never thought I'd be a fan of a team, of a coach, who would say that in a regular season game.
And do so seemingly a lot of different times. Like that, you watch them play Washington.
Yep.
And having phone callers after the game, most people were jacked up for Chris Middleton, which I was excited about. 51 points, you should be. The guy deserved it, and he's worked his ass off to get to where he is. But a lot of conversations were still around, well, one, they can't do it in the playoffs, and two, how do you keep letting teams like this get back into the game? That team, you should have stomped on their throat.
Yep.
It should have been over right away. But you're up 30 at the break. Like, the teams just don't do that and have to deal with that on a night in and night out. Not like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have to deal with being too good. But you're right to the point of, at some point, you do need to settle down, and we need to get into some work. And I think Mike Budenholzer does a tremendous job of settling in at the right point in time, knowing that whatever you're able to do at this point in March or in February, in January, it's all dandy. And Kyle Korver can tell you about that with the February that Atlanta Hawks team had.
Right.
Didn't do them any help when they went up against LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals and got skunked.
No, not at all. And see, that's the other thing that goes into this, too. And you brought it up earlier about Popovich in San Antonio. Well, he came from that staff, Budenholzer did, right? So he knows how this is supposed to look. He gets how the machine is supposed to work going forward and what it's supposed to be. The key is going to be, as we talked about yesterday, is down this stretch, right? When you're pushing and looking at 70, do you go for it? Do you really push to get to 70 or 71 wins and maybe push the minutes limit a little bit if you need to in a game or two down the stretch, and games that mean nothing? Because figure, what, by the time you get to the end of the year, Bucks will probably be up, what, dozen games on second place in the Eastern Conference? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. The one seed, home court throughout the Eastern Conference is going to be over probably 2 weeks before the end of the season. Maybe three.
Which is good, because going into this regular season, while the fan base may have gotten complacent in the regular season, it is evident that the organization did not. And that they believe... And understand, yeah, we got to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was sweet. We got to get back there, but we still haven't won anything.
Correct.
And they've gone into this year with a renewed sense of purpose, which is tough to do after you win almost a franchise record in 60 games. And right now, you're on pace to continue to break franchise records. You're going to probably break the franchise record win total. You were 2 games away from breaking the franchise record in consecutive wins in a season.
Yep.
I mean, they're checking off box after box after box. And, oh, by the way, they're historically good point differential-wise. So it's not only like they're squeaking through a lot of these games because the losses, you can still remember them giving up 20-point leads. But when you're up 20 consistently, there's not many teams that you're 20 points better than in the NBA.
Well, they're on pace, what, to set an NBA record with point differential at the end of the year. And to give you an idea of just how good they are, yet you got knuckleheads on Barstool Sports talking about there's not a dominant team in the NBA, and it's hard to buy into the Milwaukee Bucks, so blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever, dude.
Jesse tweets in, don't forget about this, guys. If the Lakers have extra motivation, then I'd say Giannis does too. I know he's been thinking about this, and he quoted the tweet that Kobe Bryant had on June 24th, 2019, the night that Giannis gets the MVP award. Just says, my man, MVP, greatness, next up, championship. Yep. Hashtag Mamba mentality.
Correct.
That's 1 year ago, less than a year ago.
And that's Danny, except LeBron's got something on his mind now, too, thanks. You know, if that wasn't, if that whole Kobe horrific thing didn't happen, then yeah, I'd still be taking the Bucks to probably win this thing,
and I'd still be taking the Bucks to play the Clippers. Right?
Agree there too.
It would still be the Clippers for me that they were going to be playing right now. I just don't see anybody stopping LeBron in that Western Conference.
The only way that this doesn't happen is if Anthony Davis gets hurt like usual. If that happens, then goodbye, bye, Lakers. Because that's the end of them.
Oh, yeah, that's parting shot.
They're done. If that happens, they're done. They can't overcome that, no matter how good LeBron James is at the end of the year. They're not overcoming an injury to Anthony Davis.
We're going
to
hear from Za'Darius Smith coming up here next at 5:45. If you missed our conversation with Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, that comes up at 5:45. Jordy Nelson at 5:20. He sat down with Bill Michaels. We'll also have a conversation with Eric Name at 4:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. You need some food for the big game. Stevie and I have had a lot of disagreements on what type of food you can eat during a football game. But since the Packers are not in this, and since there's not large amount of money on the line during this game, I could pretty much just about eat anything, especially if it's from Robert Specialty Meats.
When you watch it with a group of people, the people you watch it with about the commercials, like everybody shuts up during the commercials, the game starts, then everybody talks, or like, what are the group of people you're going to be with? What is it going to be about?
I just can't stand the people that are just there for the commercials. I got to leave. Like, if the conversation's about the commercials, I have no problem just getting up and leaving the party.
But are you with your family that you're going to watch the game with, or your buddies?
I still haven't really decided yet
where you're watching.
I'm still floating around a couple of different ideas.
Okay. All right. Just 3 days before the biggest football
I'm a free agent.
Game of the year. And if you're planning a house party,
now we're talking.
Sure, the food you're serving up is super delicious from Robert's Specialty Meats. Everybody's favorite game day treat is Robert's ribs on a stick. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce, or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers in barbecue, garlic parmesan, or Door County cherry flavors. All easy to heat up in just minutes. You also find such favorites like pulled pork to make perfect sandwiches, plus over 30 varieties of original sausages and brats, including the Al Capone Italian sausage, just bursting with zesty flavor. Even tasty appetizers like stuffed mushrooms, bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers, or their awesome-tasting Kinnickinnick whiskey beef skewers. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT, for the best selection and to order ahead. And when you visit, make sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, there's only one place. Roberts Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Packers defensive captain Za'Darius Smith next with Bill Michaels on 105.7 FM. The Fan, your chance at $1,000, 2 minutes away. Don't go anywhere. Chance at $1,000 here on 105.7 FM. The Fan's Wendy's Big Show. All you need is this hour's cash keyword. Text it to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Make sure not to text and drive. This hour's cash keyword is boat. B-O-A-T, boat. Text boat to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Next chance at $1,000 cash call. Roster bonus on The Fan tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. with Chuck and Winkler. Leroy Butler down in Miami along with Gary Ellerson. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Leroy about a day and a half away from hopefully finding out that he is going to be a member of the 2020 class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Stevie, your boy Steve Mariucci put him in today on the NFL Network's Super Bowl Live. So there you go.
No, that's
there
good.
You have it. You,
yeah.
Basically in.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Although Terrell Davis then dropped Steve Atwater in, and then I kind of laughed. But,
that is right. I mean, you should stick with your guys, right? You should say that the player is great, not good.
I love this guy, man. I wish everybody could get the joke, but you just can't. Za'Darius Smith with Bill Michaels here on 105.7 FM, The Fan's Wendy's Big Show.
We are more than happy to be joined by number 55, the man himself, Za'Darius Smith. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing unbelievably wonderful. I'm going to move this up here. Okay. Move it right there. There we go.
Okay.
There's that voice now.
Yeah,
you and Darius Rucker, man.
I know, right?
Right? How you been?
I need an Allstate commercial.
So you and I last night were sitting there talking, and
yes,
I'm watching you take pictures of rings, and you leaned over and you said, this is my inspiration.
Yeah.
How tough is it to be sitting here and not sitting in a practice facility?
Man,
right
it's
now?
Real tough. I think after that last loss, man, it took me like a week to bounce back. But, you know, getting the opportunity, man, to go to the Pro Bowl, man, and be here now to just experience everything is awesome, man. And for last night to see that ring, man, it gave me so much fire to want more, you know, as a player because we was that close.
So if you win a Super Bowl, you're going to buy that $22 million car for yourself?
No way. So last night, we was at the party,
awesome.
Man, and it was the
23 million?
$23 million car. You got to add the extra million.
I'm sorry. Once you get past 20, I don't care.
So to be able to be around a car like that, man, that's crazy for me because, you know, as a kid, you know, I love cars, man. And for one, for $23 million is not it, but it's a nice car. I really like it.
When we were talking last night, you said that, you know, coming off the bus, you guys knew what they wanted to do, and it was just difficult. It was tough to stop the run. So I'll just ask you what happened.
I feel like, man, as a team, we wasn't ready to play football. You know, they schemed us up. You know, they got to our edges. I think me, Preston, we got to do a better job at setting the edges better. And, you know, in certain situations, just gap scheme, man. A lot of guys were out of their gaps. I just felt like in that game, man, we as a team wasn't ready to play football.
Now, when you say that, that comment will explode. Somebody will be listening and go, they weren't ready to play. Matt LaFleur didn't have them ready to play.
No, you can't put that on none of the
so
coach.
So that's what I'm going to ask you. When you say not ready to play, you're talking about you and Preston and the guys, and you're talking about Mike Pettenwatt.
Nah. You're trying to get deeper than what we're supposed to.
See, I'm trying to stem the tide.
Because I know
where you're going.
So what it is, man, is as players, man, we all are pros. You know, we've been in college, we've been in high school, so we got to adjust to know how to when to play and what time to play and be able to bring your A game when it's time, and that was one game that we did.
Talk about Mike Pettine's scheme, playing for Mike Pettine.
Man, he's so awesome, man. I love Mike Pettine. I think I just talked to him, 2 days ago. But, great guy, man. He know how to use his players, put us in situations, man, to go be dominant, man. And that's one thing I love about him, man. And as you can see this year, he did it for me and the rest of the team, too, because a lot of guys showed up on that defense.
The leadership –
yes,
that
sir.
You guys had between you and Preston, some of the other guys, and obviously Aaron. What was it like playing in that locker room with guys that took ownership and played with a guy that's on his way to a Hall of Fame?
Man, it felt great, man, to be around great guys like that, man. I think when I first got the phone call to go to Green Bay, Bill, my agent, man, he was like, you know Preston Smith? I said, yeah, I know Preston Smith. Well, he going to be playing with you. They're going to be a new teammate. I said, well, let's go.
Right.
So we got it, and then we got the quarterback, man, and just to be in that locker room is so amazing because you got a lot of guys who want to be leaders and want to speak up. So, like, when it's my turn to speak, Preston want to have something to say. When Preston has something to say, 12 want to have something. So it all worked hand-in-hand, man, and I think as a team, man, we're growing, man. And as you can see, it's just our first year, and we came so far. Man, we still got a long way to go, but as you can see, man, it's holding up, and I'm happy to be there.
How far away are you from winning one more game and then being here?
Man, I know. Man, look, who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody, man. I said, man, we just going to harp on finishing because we was that close to being where we want to be, and this week could have been a week for us preparing for a game, and now we're not. So to have that fire, man, I think for all our young guys on the team, man, they know. They was close, and they know how it feel to lose in a big game like that. So next year when we have that opportunity, man, we're going to dominate and finish.
My perspective for the first year of Matt LaFleur was he was like an iceberg, slow, steady, didn't show a lot, had fun doing it.
Yeah.
But you tell me, behind closed doors, first time as a head coach.
Man, first time, man.
I'm
going to tell you this, man. He's a young coach that understands his players. You know, a lot of coaches don't want to ask advice from players and then make their decision. That's something that coach do, and I think he does a great job at it because you got older guys in there too, like 12, Traymond. You got older guys have been in the game for 14 so years. So to have that, man, he loved to ask his players how do they feel about a situation, and then we go off of that as a team. So I feel like that helped us so much as a team, man. It helped us grow because, like I said, it's the first year for everybody. GM, first year for the head coach, first year for me being a captain, Preston. It's all new to us. So for us to come this far, man, I feel like we got the team, man. So we're most definitely going to be good next year.
Talking with Zadarius Smith of the Green Bay Packers and sitting here on Radio Row, I also wanted to ask you, Green Bay, you get positives, you get negatives. Tell me how the city adopted you.
Man, I love Green Bay, man. Green Bay.
You and I were talking about this last night, and I thought this is pertinent to get out.
Yeah, man. The one thing, man, that I love to do, man, I think outside of football is bowling. I think that's one of the main things in Green Bay is bowling, man. But I think my first time I did it, I was at a charity game when I first got there. And I wasn't putting my fingers inside of the holes.
The holes?
Yeah. No, I was holding
throwing
it like
the ball?
Holding it like a basketball and just, And every time I rolled the ball, I hit strikes. So to be able to do that, man, I feel like that's my next hobby, man, outside of football.
Oh,
I love
awesome.
Green Bay.
Yeah, we were talking about going out because you were recently in the Dells.
Yeah,
and,
Dells. Yeah, it was crazy,
And don't get me wrong, you love people because I watched you work a room last night. But there are times where you just want to go and hang with your kid.
Man, tell you that story, man. I was in Dells, man. I think it was our bye week. Yeah, we had a bye week before the first playoff game.
Yeah.
And, man, I took my son to Dells, man. Amazing place, man. But I was in an indoor water park, and I think somebody recognized me, man. I took one picture, As soon as I took one picture, you know how many people came in that line? Over 60, 70 people just waiting to take a picture. But you know what? It's awesome, man. I love that about the fans, man. They show a lot of love. And hopefully I can be there for the next 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I told you, I talked to that buddy of mine. They got a house in the Northwoods for you.
So oh, yeah.
Up there in tall timber and boat and jet ski.
Awesome.
Now, are you allowed to, like, jet ski and snowmobile and all that stuff?
Is that in the contract to say
you can't do that?
No, I just think it's motorcycles. They don't want you on something with two wheels, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think jet skis are harming me.
Okay. Nah. There's no wheels on jet skis.
Right,
brakes either. Well, it was great as a first season to watch you guys do what you did. The one thing about it was unprecedented with no injuries. You guys went through a very injury-free season. It's tough to go do that again.
I know, man. I'm going to knock on wood because we don't want that to happen. But, you know, for all of us to hold up in those situations, that just shows you how strong we are as a team.
You won't be same personnel going into next season. There's going to be some changes, obviously. But if I had to say the Green Bay Packers pick up blank amount of pieces, guys that are going to contribute, like you and Preston came in and did this year. You're blank amount of pieces away, without getting specific.
Yeah.
How many pieces away?
Man, I feel like we're not missing no pieces. That's what's so crazy because somebody just asked me that. They was like, what do you think you would need next year to continue to be successful? And I feel like we got all the tools in the toolbox, you know. We just got our coaches, man, that are going to help us create our own ways of becoming better players, and that's the only thing I feel like that we just need to keep harping on. Coaches just need to keep coaching, and players just need to keep playing.
It was great hanging out with you last night. You were a pleasure to, and you're very gracious with all the friends and people and pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, that's fantastic.
Man, I love doing that stuff. Man, I love making people
happy. We had a blast.
I love making people happy, man.
That was a lot of fun, man.
Appreciate it.
You, your family, your wife, everybody over here, it's fantastic to meet you guys
and see you
guys and hang out with you guys. And I look forward to doing more. So I don't know where we're going tonight, but whatever it is.
Yeah, we'll be there
together. I hope you're there,
right? Most definitely.
All right, buddy.
There you go. Thank you.
Za'Darius Smith joining us here on Radio Row for a couple of minutes.
Bill Michaels and Za'Darius Smith. Those dudes are going to get into some trouble tonight if they go clubbing.
This is my thing here.
That's why the station didn't send me to Miami. Smart decision.
That's correct. This is where I have a new goal in life. For 44, January 30th, 2020, right. I have a new goal
in life. Let me write it down.
My new goal in life.
New goal in life.
Is to get Za'Darius Smith into the Chris Paul Celebrity PBA TV show next year. And have him on.
Mm-hmm.
And that airs on Super Bowl Sunday. So I want him in, and provided they're not in the Super Bowl or whatever.
True.
The Chris Paul Celebrity Bowling tournament that they do, or bowling show. It's not really a tournament. So he brings, like, Kevin Hart bowls in it, Chris Paul, all these big-name celebrities. James Harden is bowled in it. All these guys going. J.J. Watt been in it? I would assume J.J. Watt had to have been in it at some point. But all these different guys. I'm going to try and get Za'Darius Smith in this thing next year.
But are you going to give him some pointers? I mean, I know you're not doing the spare time bowling show anymore, but, like, you guys would need to get some. I mean, you guys could probably get him a ball that he could use and
maximize himself without needing the fingers in. He's so big, he doesn't have to put his fingers in the ball. He doesn't have to put his fingers in the ball. He can palm a ball. I'm guessing he could palm a bowling ball. I mean, I've never seen his hands, but I'm guessing he could palm a bowling ball.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah, he could hold it out and laugh
exactly.
with people.
Right. He doesn't need to do all that. No, not at all. Now, I'll tell you something. Mookie Betts, that dude is really good. Like, when he's done, if he wants to go try out the whole PBA thing, I think he could make some money. Not that he needs it, but I think he could make some money.
He's going to make plenty of money.
And since we're talking about bowling, and I don't have my bowling show anymore, the PBA League it announced that they're expanding to two cities. So it's going from 8 cities to 10 cities.
There you go.
And Las Vegas is going to be one.
Okay.
And Milwaukee is going to be represented.
Ooh.
And Marshall Holman is going to be the manager of the Milwaukee PBA League coming up later this spring. I just love that. Marshall Holman's my guy. Big, 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 big fan of Marshall Holman.
That's one of those.
So excited.
It's bowling, darts, and the World Series of Poker are the three events that I want to go to a, like, big time championship bout of.
Okay, so let's go over those three. Poker, not very good. Don't have the patience. Way too aggressive. Lose early every time.
I'm awful at poker, but
that
arena seems like it would be fun.
Okay, darts. Lost to Tim Allen. Retired after that. Bowling, actually not horrible of the three. So, yeah, love bowling. Yeah.
You lost the 10 in darts.
Sure did. I can show you the bar where it happened in Kenosha.
That's amazing. Yep.
And we were not drunk. We were sober.
That's amazing stuff. Yep. You can't make that up.
Sure did.
Just can't make that stuff up. Eric Name joins us next for Milwaukee Basketball Insider. We won't play darts with Eric Name. We'll talk Bucks on the Fan. Hey. Seven FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app coming up tonight at 6 here on the Fan. I'll be out at Good City Brewing along with Steve Novak, the Marquette legend, also a Brown Deer legend. They named the entire gym after Steve Novak, and Kyle Korver of your Milwaukee Bucks. The guard stops by,
you know,
and talk about Kobe, talk about this year's team, and also talk about. He's known Mike Budenholzer a lot longer than anybody else on this team.
I wasn't thinking about this, but I should have. It just came to me now. There's no way we can pull it off at 450. But what would have been a really cool thing to do at Good City Brewing tonight would have been to have good old Brian Lamy and his crew who run this event rent a Papa Shot machine and have Korver and Novak do a Papa Shot competition against each other.
Oh, yeah, I would have beat both of them.
No.
Easy money.
Did he miss what I was saying, Plucker? I said...
Yeah.
Novak and Korver to do the Papa Shot competition. I didn't say
Billy. why wouldn't you have the best Papa Shot player in the city be involved in that conversation?
You couldn't beat me.
There's no chance. You would have no chance.
I've never been beat.
You guys got to put something on this.
I've never been beat in the 14 years, 15 years I've been here. Nobody's ever beat me.
Now we're talking.
Nobody's ever beat me. But Novak and... Korver, that would be good. I'd enjoy watching.
Oh, that would be, that'd be made for
TV. That
would
have been great.
Facebook Live would have loved it. All I'm saying is I would have beaten both of them. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our guy Eric Name. Eric, have you ever taken on the apparently undefeated for the last 14 years, LeVar, Steve, Sparky, Pfeiffer over here in Papa Shot?
I have not. I can't even imagine.
Never lost.
That's incredible. I want to see it, if I'm being totally honest.
Rami ran his mouth for a while, too, until it happened. And then he's like, I'm done. I'm not playing you anymore. And that was the end of that. And then every time somebody opened their mouth about it, he would tell him, don't do it. You're just going to get smoked. Eric, let's talk about this all-star selection process tonight for the reserves in the East and the West. Charles Barkley, who, as we all know, I don't like, put out his projections on TNT. Chris Middleton, not. Part of the guys he would pick for the reserves on the East. I just cannot believe that they will not have two All-Star representatives on a team that's bound for 70 wins.
Yeah, I'd be pretty shocked. I think the big thing here is that, you know, it's not fans kind of thinking about it. It's not anyone from like the outside thinking about it. It's not media, like it's coaches. And, you know, I think the thing you hear night in, night out from coaches is, well, there's two things. One, I'm trying to win tonight. Winning is important. And then two, Chris Middleton is just a pain to try to plan for every night. Like, those are two things we hear all the time. And I would be shocked if a group of people that preaches, we want to win. And we want our players to be willing to sacrifice for the greater good. We want them to be willing to be a part of something special, and we want to build something special. Would in any way discourage players or give them any sort of messaging that would say the opposite of that? And only having Giannis as the lone representative for a team on pace to become just the third team in NBA history to win 70 games would be doing the opposite of that. Like, if the coaches here aren't going to name another Buck, then that means, hey, guys, you should worry about individual stuff. You should worry about your scoring averages. You should worry about, you know, what everyone thinks of you, because we, the coaches, won't recognize the teams that win and the players that contribute to those winning teams. So I'm with you. I would be shocked, might be a bit far, but I would be incredibly surprised if Chris Middleton isn't in this one. And I think I've been talking with a couple people about this. This is a big one. Because once you get to a second All-Star game, you tend to get to a third All-Star game, and
right,
a fourth All-Star game. Like, this is the one. Like, guys that have been one-time All-Stars, no one feels mm-hmm. like, you know what, let's just give that guy, we'll just give him my vote. Like, he's an All-Star. I know he's an All-Star. Once you get two, you've been there back-to-back games, then everyone gets to that spot where it's like, yeah, this guy's an All-Star. We should continue voting for him.
Mm-hmm. It's like winning a gold glove in baseball. Once you win one gold glove, you 100. Essentially win three.
Exactly. So this is, this is really legitimately a big swing year for Chris Middleton.
Eric, how impressive was that 51 the other night at Fiserv Forum? Just the sound out of the locker room, talking to Matt after the game, it just felt like everybody in that room felt like they were a part of something special because of the dude that Chris is.
Yeah, I think the big thing that kind of just speaks to me that night is that so often, you know, Bud had that great line about anybody who knows the sport knows how good he is. And that's the stuff you typically have to say about Chris Middleton, because Chris Middleton is quiet. Chris Middleton's game requires, you know, a little bit of nuance understanding to fully appreciate. You didn't need any nuance to understand 51. Like, you got it. Like, that dude's good. That dude's real good. And it doesn't matter that it came against the Wizards, who play absolutely no defense. A 51-point night is a 51-point night. Like, you remember 50-point nights. Like, I still remember Tony Delk having a 50-point night. Obviously,
sure,
Chris Middleton's a much better player, but, like, we can all remember 50-point nights. Everyone remembers Jennings' double nickel, even though he didn't end up being, you know, certainly not the player Chris has been. And, you know, he was a veteran NBA player, but he wasn't a great NBA player by the end of it. But, like, those things are memorable, and those things are just loud. And Chris Middleton's game is quiet. And I just – that was kind of what I ended up coming away from that, was that, you know, Chris Middleton had a loud night. He often does not have those. And then I thought the cool thing was, even though all of Bucks Twitter was incredibly worried about where Giannis was, if he was in the arena, Giannis was working on arts and crafts in the back. He needed to make sure Chris had a 51 sign, so he made him a handmade 51 sign. Like, I just think all that stuff kind of speaks to, obviously, what Middleton means to this team, but also just the greater chemistry that this team has shown throughout the season.
Okay, so we obviously are all believing then that Middleton is an all-star tonight, so that gives him two all-stars. But realistically, at the end of the day, with these new goofy, stupid all-star rules that they put into place today, where essentially each quarter, each team is playing for $100,000 for their favorite Chicago charity, and you reset back to zero the points each quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, the total for each team is the number you want to play for. So if it's 195 team Giannis, add 24 points onto that. First team to 124 in the fourth quarter wins and gets additional money at the end. Is this really worth even being involved in at this point?
You're saying is being involved in the All-Star game more?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, right? Like, you want to represent the NBA and all this other stuff, but you see it in the Pro Bowl. All these guys come up with excuses of why they don't want to be there at the end of the day. Is the NBA in danger of making this like that, almost into a clown show?
Yeah, I mean, I think the toughest part of all of this is there's this idea that the All-Star game needs to be competitive. And, like, that's the only way that this can be saved. And, you know, I think it's been clear for, 15 years, 10 years, that it's not going to happen. Sorry, guys. Like, it's just not going to happen. These guys make way too much money. These games don't mean anything. They're not going to get themselves hurt in an All-Star game. They're not going to try that hard. Like, we saw Giannis' first All-Star game. Everyone, like, looking at this dude like he had eight arms because he was playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
He was full court pressing James Harden. Like, that's out the window. So I mean, I just think that I feel bad that we won't get it. Like, obviously, I wish that was the case, but I just don't understand how anyone's going to try to fix this. Like, I know why the NBA is trying to fix it, because you want to have that competitiveness, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. Like, we're not gonna get it back. Like, we've already jumped the shark. It's over. Like, competitive all-star games are not happening. Whether that's I just always kind of laugh on days like this, because everyone's like, oh, well, what if we had them play one-on-one? Who's going to play hard? Nobody. What if we had them play horse? We've seen them try to do horse before. It sucked. It was flat-out bad. It was on All-Star Weekend. It sucked. Like, no matter what you're doing, if the thing that you fixed isn't players actually caring, you haven't done anything. And I've yet to be convinced there's going to be any way for us to find that again. Like, I just don't think it's coming back.
I will contend with anybody, the most competitive thing on All-Star Weekend is the three-point competition, because it's tough to fake that. Like, the only thing you can do is you can either try to make the shots or you don't. And no one's going to go in there trying to not make shots. But, I mean, the slam dunk competition is not like it used to be. But it's still, you can enjoy it on a Saturday night and relic in it. Eric Name joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
But, Eric, at the end of the day, do you think more of these guys would rather take a week off and not play and rest their bodies? Or do you think there's enough of them that still enjoy playing in the game and being in the slam dunk and the three-point contest and all that stuff?
Oh, Steve, there's valuable recruiting to be done. You can't take a weekend off of recruiting.
There we
right?
go.
Well,
then there's absolutely no reason for Giannis to be there, because we know he doesn't do that.
But I think, man, it's kind of a tough question to know whether or not. I know Giannis has came back from his first All-Star game and was just like, man, I'm tired. Like, I wish I would have had some time off.
Sure.
And, you know, he said that again and again. Like, every time he comes back, he's like, yeah, you know, it wasn't really as much of a week off as I would have wanted. This year, I think it's pretty convenient since it's in Chicago. Like, he doesn't really have to get on a plane. Like, he can just drive down for the stuff that he needs and pretty much stay at home. So that should help out a little bit with him, because he doesn't do anything else other than the absolute bare minimum that is required of him. Like, he will go to his practice. He will go to his media availability that is required on Saturday, and then he will go home. Maybe he'll make an appearance at something on, like, All-Star Saturday night, but also he might just go home. So I think to answer your question, I think there are probably plenty of guys that would like to have that time off, but it's also become clear that a lot of these guys understand that they need to be statesmen, I suppose, where mm-hmm. You are someone that represents the league. And if you are someone that represents the league, that means one of your requirements is to show up on All-Star Weekend.
That's a really good way to put it, Eric. Sometimes you just have to do, and you got to be a company guy. Reading your midseason grades over at The Athletic, really enjoyed the piece and just wanted to know, either positive or negative, like the D for Pat Connaughton. I know a lot of people were really, really high on the postseason he had last year and expected him to make some jump into a different level of play. Either positive or negative, what player, when you were going out with those grades at the midseason point, surprised you the most of where they're at here 45, 46 games in?
I mean, I think I'm probably shocked by it. I'm not going to take the cop-out. The cop-out would be to say that I can't believe Giannis somehow got better, and I can't believe Middleton is playing at the level that he's playing at. That would be the cop-out answer, but for me, it's DiVincenzo. Like,
agreed.
I know that the organization loves him. They've made that very clear now for a while. Like, but, you know, last year, first game of the season, he's the first guy off the bench and kind of shocked everybody. So I've known they've always been high on him, but I've wondered why, right? Like, you watch the games last year and you're like, all right, like, he kind of does stuff, but I don't really know if it's all that impactful. And yeah, I was wrong. It's incredibly impactful. Like, you just watch him kind of fly around, hit shots. Obviously, his grade could have been a little bit higher if he shot just slightly better from the three-point line. But right now, it's enough respect. He does enough off the dribble. And, I mean, he's just everywhere defensively. And I don't know that I ever kind of expected that from him. So DiVincenzo would be my biggest surprise if this is the halfway point. I don't know. It's weird with a week off for Paris and now a week off for the All-Star break. Like, this is just a weird season.
Yeah, it's like you get a mini vacation in the middle of an incredibly hectic 8 months. It all works out for you guys. I mean, it's nice that you get to actually meet your bed every once in a while.
Hey, I enjoy it. I don't do it nearly often enough.
Eric, appreciate it, man. It's always fun. You know that. And we'll talk next week, all right?
All right, I look forward to it. See you, fellas.
Thanks, dude. That's Eric Name, Eric underscore Name, NEHM is where you follow his coverage of the Milwaukee Bucks. And he joins us here each Thursday at 4:48, our Milwaukee Basketball Insider on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app.
You listen to Chugga Winkler, right, from time to time?
Yeah. So they're up a little too early for me.
Every time, well, Ryan Horvath doing that 5 a.m. show, the Chugga Winkler pregame show is way too early for me.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the rewind, I would never get to hear my man Horvy.
Gets a ton of people calling and tweeting and stuff, so other people must be up at that time of day. I'm rolling over.
Yeah, people work at that time. It's crazy.
Yeah, I roll over. For me, they have on Eric Name, and Winkler is always like, I love you, Namey, love you. And then Eric does an uncomfortable, I love you too, Bird, and you guys too. And he goes, Velasquez comes on. Nothing. Talk to you next time, Matt.
Yeah, see you later, Matt.
I mean, Velasquez and Name are pretty good friends. Like, don't you think that's kind of
disrespectful?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I was Velasquez, I'd be like, oh, clearly they don't like me.
Cool,
well,
they don't like me.
That's not nice. You just got to be careful, man. You hurt people's feelings. You do stuff like that.
Well, I felt bad the one time that I tweeted out letting everybody know, you know, Sidney Moncrief joins us on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. Will not be on Thursday night. Weird 8 o'clock start time on Friday night, but it didn't seem here nor there. But I tweet out, you know, hey, man, Sidney Moncrief going to be on the postgame show tonight. And Matt tweets in, hey, I'll be there too. And I'm like, Matt, I apologize. I should never leave you out like that ever again. Because otherwise I'm going to have to go get a career change, and I can call John Young, because if I keep leaving Matt Velasquez out of that tweet, I'm not going to get my Radio Supermax.
You think he's that influential?
I think so. Oh, yeah. Matt knows a lot of people.
I tend to agree. Hey, Young Express expanding in all departments, which magnifies the need to increase their independent contractor base, especially local drivers. These people have been in business for 29 years. That's pretty good. And they're expanding still. You want to be with these guys, right? Local drivers stay within 250 miles of Milwaukee. They do short runs, so you don't have to worry about driving 15 hours straight like an over-the-road guy. Local drivers get sleep in their own bed each and every night. Give your kids a kiss at night. That's a beautiful thing. 99% no-touch freight. That means the freight is loaded and unloaded with a forklift. No manual loading or unloading. You just drive. Plus, you must have your own cargo van or sprinter van or the means to purchase one. With minimal investment in your own vehicle, Young Express will provide you all the training necessary for you to become a successful transporter of expedited freight. Now, why Young Express? Well, they have a 24-7 dispatch team that are extremely dedicated. Take it very personally to keep drivers moving. Because if you're not driving, you're not making money. It's simple. Looking for full-time independent contractors, especially local drivers right now, join the Young Express team. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them.
Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane is next. Jordy Nelson at 5:20. You're going to hear our conversation with Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh at 5:45. And we're going to squeeze in our guy John McNamara on the Kobe King news in the middle of that. Big 5 o'clock hour coming straight ahead on the Wendy's Big Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.